The next afternoon, he was at the lab again. He parked where he had a clear view of the back alley. When the limo showed up, he got out of his car and walked over to the alley. The chauffeur, who was holding the door open, glanced at him, but probably thought Schroeder was a bum to be ignored. A man emerged from the back door and walked to the limo. He glanced in Schroeder's direction, started to get in the car, then he looked again. A wide grin came to his face. To the puzzlement of the limo driver, his wealthy employer went over and put his arms around the bum in a great hug.
"After all these years, what in God's name are you doing here?" Kovacs said.
"I thought you might like to take a ride in the snow," Schroeder said with a grin.
Kovacs responded with a look of mock horror.
"Not if you are at the wheel."
"You're looking well, old friend."
"Yes, you too. Different, however. I wasn't sure at first, but it's the same old Carl."
"I shouldn't have come here," Schroeder said.
"Please, my friend. It was fated that we should meet again. I have so much to thank you for."
"Knowing that you are well and prosperous is thanks enough. Now I must go."
"We must talk first," Kovacs said. He told his driver to wait and led the way back into the lab.
"There is no one here."
They passed through lab rooms filled with electrical contraptions that would have been at home in Frankenstein's lab and settled in a luxurious office.
"You've done well," Schroeder said. "I'm glad to see that."
"I've been very fortunate. And you?"
"I am happy, although my home isn't as rich-looking as yours."
"You've been to my house?" "Of course, I should have known. You touch all the bases, as they say in our adopted country."
"You have a family?"
A cloud passed over Kovacs' brow, but then he smiled.
"Yes, I remarried, and you?"
"There have been many women, but I continue to be a loner."
"Most unfortunate. I'd like to introduce you to my wife and son."
Schroeder shook his head. "This was as far as it goes," he said. Kovacs said he understood. Schroeder's presence would raise too many questions. Both of them still had enemies in the world. They talked for another hour until Schroeder finally asked the question that had been on his mind.
"I assume you have buried the frequencies."
Kovacs tapped his forehead.
"Up here, now and forever."
"You are aware that there was an attempt to capitalize on your work. The Russians found material at the lab and tried to make it work for them."
Kovacs smiled.
"I am like the aunt who writes down her cookie recipe for the family, but leaves out an important ingredient. Their experiments would have taken them only so far."
"They tried. Our adopted country conducted similar research. Once the government found out what was going on, then the experiment stopped."
"There is no need to worry. I haven't forgotten what my work did to my first family."
Satisfied with the answer, Schroeder said he had to go. They shook hands and embraced. Schroeder gave Kovacs an address to get in touch with him if needed. They vowed to talk again, but years passed without contact. Then, one day, Schroeder checked his blind box and found a message from the Hungarian. "I need your help again," the message said. When he called, the scientist said, "Something terrible has happened." This time, Schroeder went directly to the Grosse Pointe mansion. Kovacs greeted him at the door. He looked terrible. They sat in the study, and Kovacs explained that his wife had died a few years before. Their son had married a wonderful woman, he said, but they were both killed in a car crash a few weeks before. When Schroeder offered his condolences, Kovacs thanked him and said there was one way he could help. He spoke into an intercom, and a few minutes later a nursemaid came in. She was holding a beautiful blonde baby girl.
"My granddaughter, Carla," Kovacs said, proudly taking the baby. "She is named after an old friend who, I hope, will soon be her godfather."
He handed the baby to Schroeder, who held her awkwardly in his arms. Schroeder was touched by the invitation and accepted the responsibility. As the girl grew up, he made several trips to Grosse Pointe, where he was referred to as Uncle Carl, and had become entranced by her grace and intelligence. On one occasion, she and her grandfather had spent several days in Montana. They were sitting on the porch of his log cabin watching the girl chasing butterflies when Kovacs revealed that he had a fatal illness.
I am going to die soon. My granddaughter is well provided for, but I want you to pledge that you will watch over her as you once watched over me and protect her from all harm.
It will be my pleasure, Schroeder said, never dreaming that one day he would have to honor his pledge. He clenched his teeth in renewed determination. Whatever it took, he knew he must get to her before they did.